not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, and I'm simply delighted to have as my guest today a guy who's got a great reputation. He's a dynamo and activist, speaks widely, has his own radio show, even here on Revolution Radio. Scott McKay made an appearance in Tulsa. We want to hear about that, his thoughts about the current situation, what's going on with his completely fraudulent Biden-Harris administration, what's going on in Arizona with a recount and all that. Scott, welcome to the show.
Jim, it's a pleasure to be here. One of my brethren at Revolution Radio. It's the first chance we actually get to work together. Happy to. I don't get oftentimes an opportunity with my brothers and sisters at Rev Radio. So you're pretty much the first, other than Maggie Rose. I get a chance to talk to her a bit. But then my producers, Mitchell and Mitchell Bupp, helped get me off the ground there in the beginning. Got Pat Rabbit, Mr. Rowe. However, you know, you're added to the list of the, I guess that's a rounds out. It's about five I've been able to work with.
Somehow. And of course, Mitchell is producing our show here and now, Scott. So that's a kind of a wonderful reunion. I'm so pleased. Tell us about Tulsa as an opening number.
Well, Tulsa was an amazing event. You know, we had a number of speakers that were there. There were 40, I think 40 speakers on the roster. It was truly a powerhouse situation. I don't think anybody expected it to be quite as energetic and effective as it was. It seems like it was a test run. I talked to Clay Clark yesterday, and you know, they put the one together for Tampa, and that's spinning off of what happened up there. I think primarily because they realized that there's a lot more we the people out there that are ready to get into this fight to get our country back from the Marxist socialists, and that weekend was an indicator. I was actually shocked in many ways. I didn't get a chance to see any of the speakers. I saw two speakers, Mike Adams and Lynn Wood. The rest of the time, I just spent with the people, just getting my finger on the pulse of where, you know, where we're at in our movement here with the Patriot Street Fighter Nation that's rising and growing. I had it truly was the most amazing experience of my life. I mean, I know that sounds like it's a bit of an overcast, but the simple fact was I was just completely floored by with my response with the people, from the people. And I'm excited. I know our message has been pretty forward and pretty aggressive since I started the Tipping Point on Revolution Radio. We're a year and so many months into that, and we did the live stream now, Patriot Street Fighters live streamed. I'm still taken back by it all. I really, I'm overwhelmed, and I'm extremely pleased that the message is working. People are getting off the bench. They're getting into the fight. They're running for school boards in their area to start taking the fight to the enemy, taking back territory. Sheriffs that are now coming out of retirement to get back into law enforcement. We've had that happen. We've had folks that are running for congressional seats, people getting protest groups to their state capitals. There's people are just getting off the bench. And to me, that was the indicator that we're headed in the right direction now. Now we just need to keep our foot on the gas.
Well, I thought it was fascinating and a very impressive lineup. L. Lynn Wood, you mentioned Mike Adams and a host of others. I believe, did Sydney actually make an appearance as well? They've done so much to expose the fraud of this last election. It's actually unbelievable that anyone would take it seriously. Of course, we have this forensic audit taking place with the cyber ninjas in Arizona now. And the fact that Biden won Arizona was dumbfounding to one and all. Just weeks before the election, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris made a joint appearance in Phoenix. And Scott, nobody came. I mean, the idea he could have won Arizona is absurd on its face.
The whole thing to me has been a circus sideshow. I mean, truly. You know, this is no different than it's quite a bit different than 2015 or 2016. You know, I remember back in 2016, Jim, when Trump made his announcement speech, and I've told this story a number of times. I went on the political sidelines for 9 years. After 2006, I realized that the whole machine was corrupt. My quest to get to, you know, my dream was to get to the United States Senate, and it all ended right there. And I walked away after 16 years. And Trump made his announcement speech, and I just thought, Holy Mary, Mother of God, we actually have. I've always said there's no Ronald Reagan on the horizon yet, but there will be one that shows up. And of course, Trump's has superseded my hero, Ronald Reagan, and what he's been able to accomplish. But when he made his announcement speech, I made my predictions very openly, boldly stated, you know, on social media, got pounded for 18 months by even my Republican friends initially because they were Ted Cruz fans. And so during that election, I remember traveling back home to where I grew up in Pennsylvania. I was talking to my brother-in-law and sister, and they were talking that, you know, had a sort of an attitude of defeat already because it's already rigged. Hillary's going to win, et cetera. And I just said, this is over. This election's over. This is a Trump landslide. So what happened? And I said, look, this is central Pennsylvania. I've been through Center County. You're talking left-wing Penn State, you know, university college town, which was never this way. When Paterno was there, it was always red. It was conservative. But, you know, we've had the same downfall that's happened in the institutions of education with this Marxist influence and influx. But I said, look, I've been all through Center County. I see Trump. I don't see Trump signs. I see Trump billboards all over the place. I've seen two Hillary signs. Trump has taken PA, which means he's also going to take the country. So what happened? That happens. Trump wins easily in that election. Now we have 2020. What we saw was so startlingly absurd of the turnouts everywhere the guy goes. 25 to 50,000 people show up on a whim. You know, day 2 days out, they're going to announce he's going to be somewhere. They'll have 50,000 people show up. Boat parades, 3,500 boats. This stuff is just nonstop. Insanity, the adoration for this guy, the energy, the enthusiasm. And then you saw these little ridiculous events where they would have masks and 6-foot seating requirements and small crowds and all that. They did that for a reason. They did it because they know nobody would ever show up to see these two, the circus sideshow of Biden and Harris. So what do you do? You blame it on these restrictions because how else could they pull this off? And they can't. They're not going to. And you know, they're making a great attempt at this point in time. But I still think there's controls in place to allow these people to basically slowly commit their own suicide.
Well, Jovan Pulitzer, who invented some of the techniques they're employing in the vote recount, where we have now over 250 apparently illegal votes cast, including 150,000 that had postmarks. after the date, the last date they could register, which implies, I think, the principal way the Democrats intended to steal Arizona. But we're going to get a replication of these results across the board, I believe, where Michigan may be the next opportunity to employ them, include ultraviolet light attached to the ballots, which will reveal a crease. If there's no crease, then, of course, the ballot was never folded and therefore never put into an envelope and therefore never mailed and is therefore illegitimate. I think this is a very impressive approach and that they're doing a rather spectacular work. Would you agree?
Yeah. You know, this is, I'm kind of sitting back and watching, you know, watching how this plays out. I don't have the time to follow it play by play. I just get bits and pieces of what people are telling me happened, you know, at this point in this, you know, in this audit. But, you know, overall, what we're seeing is this is just a slow moving train of exposure, and it's going to continue. And as I said, two nights ago, look, we don't know where this is going to land. We see the shuffling of chairs. We see the deep state moves that are being made. It's so obvious. You know, the thing about it is we've watched people, Jim, in the world of politics, this whole political, this shadow operation that always seems to be going on underneath the underbelly of politics. Now it's out in the open. And it's been coming out in the open for the last number of years. But right now, these people have literally been drugged into the light, these cockroaches. And they have to openly do what they've always done in the shadows. They now are showing America, they're showing the world that this is how they operate. Now that there's a spotlight on them and everybody's now getting to see it, so many things no longer pass the smell test. And this is going to continue to add up. This dynamic now that we see in motion is what I call this wake-up operation. There is going to be a consistent eyebrow raise on every move that these people make, even if they're doing the right thing, which is virtually never. But it's just now that the whole world's attention is on this issue, this presidency, this stolen election, what's going to happen to America, what are the American people doing? And little by little by little, it's just the dismantling of the, you know, pillars of trust with the political class is going to continue until it gets to a breaking point. And then when it truly breaks, it's going to come down. And that's when we the people are going to rise.
Scott, I want you to explain to everyone what you think they can best do to promote, you know, the restoration of integrity in government. I mean, the theft of the election, it seems to me, has emboldened the Democrats that they believe they can simply continue to steal elections, and therefore even the most extreme actions they may take are not going to cost them a thing. Because they learned the lesson, Stalin observes, it doesn't matter who casts the votes. What matters is who counts them.
Well, that's the truth. I mean, and it's not even who counts them anymore. They got the digital, you know, they got their digital option where they can just simply switch votes, eliminate votes, and do all the things that, you know, happened with the Dominion voting machines and the, you know, Smartmatic software and all the things that they had used. Look, the simple fact is that there are no fair elections. There haven't been. There haven't been for a long time. The problem is far worse than I even thought. I mean, look, I've said this for years. California is not a blue state. It turns out blue, but I know what it's like in the Inland Empire there. He has a lot of left-wingers in Los Angeles County, San Francisco, same thing. I mean, it's a bowl of liberal soup. But if you get out into the, you know, the outskirts, the outside areas, it's more of a conservative state. And what I understand on election day, 60%, Trump took 67% of the vote in California on election day, legitimate votes. And that's, you know, through military intelligence's operation to see what's really going on there. So if we were to stand by through all of this in the future and think that we're going to get fair votes after what we saw. I mean, look, I said to somebody yesterday, if these people go unchecked, do you think they're going to stop at where they are now? Of course they're not. They never stop where they are. They never take it so far. Their point of focus is absolution in everything that they do, including their end game of bringing us into this communist Marxist society, which those minions who are helping the deep state or the cabal powers accomplish it, they don't understand what it means. They don't realize that they're going to be the first ones to get killed once they finally get full control, because they're the ones that are going to discover, hey, wait a minute, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. And then they want to fight back, and they'll be the most vicious fighters because they'll realize they were duped. So what do? Same thing they do in history, always. They kill them first. But until this thing moves down the path that it has to for full and complete and utter exposure to the entire world, that's how this cabal works. They stole the most powerful office in the land and out in the open, and they're fighting to survive, and it's showing the people who they are. That's when we end up with, you know, full takedown, in my belief, the voter ID laws that we know are coming, because I lost faith in the American people for a number of years, but now it's reinvigorated, because I've come to realize that when the American people are given a choice, right? It's like when Reagan said, when men are given the freedom to choose, they always choose freedom. And we have enough of that taken away from us. We're pushed to the brink, if we're pushed to the brink, to the moment of destruction, it's at that point we find the will to change. And we're getting there. We're not there yet. We're getting there. It's going to have to go further. But until that happens, these things are going to continue down the same pathway.
Scott, do you believe Trump could have taken additional measures to forestall all that's taking place now? And do you have an explanation for his, to me, very surprising and distressing support for the use of these vaccines, where the latest reports I have from Sherry Tenpenny, for example, published on my blog, are that they are perfectly designed killing machines? This is the most serious concern I've had with Trump overall, where I've been a very strong supporter, with the exception of his largesse toward Israel, moving the embassy to Jerusalem, declaring the Golan Heights to be a part of Israel, defunding the UN agency, assisting Palestinian refugees, even rewriting anti-Semitism by executive order to include criticism of the actions and government of Israel. If you set those to one side, I'm extremely enthusiastic, but those have caused me concerned, as did the assassination of Qasem Soleimani, who is a great force for good in the Middle East, and who was, of course, Iran's primary anti-terrorist leader, where the assassination of Soleimani in Iraq outside the Baghdad airport was not only an act of war and a violation of international law, but of the sovereignty of Iraq, where he'd apparently been lured there under the context or pretext of participating in some kind of peace negotiations. All that has caused me considerable distress. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you could probably teach me some things there that I don't know. See, I don't see it that way. I didn't think Soleimani was a force for good. I mean, all the intel that I've seen on this guy was he was responsible for a lot of things that end up killing U.S. soldiers. So, you know, I'm always open to somebody persuading me to a different position with facts and evidence. So, I'm quite surprised by your viewpoint on that. But there's something I obviously don't know. There's information that I don't have. I have a completely oppositional viewpoint on that. And as far as moving that embassy to Jerusalem, my belief is this, right or wrong, it's this, Jim, it's that there are certain movements that you have to make which look like concessions to the enemy. It's no different. It's Sun Tzu's art of war. It's nothing more than Sun Tzu's art of war. So you lead the enemy to believe, as you're moving down a pathway that they want you to go, that there's an acquiescence there, that they're actually winning, gaining ground against you, when you're really setting these things up as, whether it's diversionary tactic or to make it appear that you're weaker than you truly are. So in my opinion, look, I've seen in the military intelligence over the 3-year period that I followed it. Israel's what's last. Israel's the last place we're going to clean out the deep state cabal, the power structure. The Israeli citizens have been oppressed massively by this cabal. I always refer to them as these Khazarians. These Khazarian Jews. They're not even Jews. They're Judaics. These are Khazarians who adopted Judaism, you know, when they had to adopt a religion by force. Otherwise, the king of Russia and surrounding nations were going to wipe them out because of their Satanist activities, their theft, murder, theft of identity, murdering people, robbing people all the time on the trade routes, etc. They adopted Judaism, and then they, of course, inverted it, and they continued out their satanic sacrifices of children and all the other horrible stuff that they do. And, you know, they've certainly infiltrated every, the entire power structure on the planet, including Israel. So I have a different viewpoint on things that I've seen and researched. I think the powers that be, look, I've sat, you know, within 10 or 15 feet of Benjamin Netanyahu, and I'd seen him speak at a different place somewhere in Los Angeles, a guy that I had tremendous respect for. But I've seen information over the last couple of years that are contrary to what my beliefs were in the past. So that's one of the ones that I kind of sit back and see how it emerges. But I do know that with cleaning out this hornet's nest, Israel is going to be the last on the list. So I'll be sitting there watching that happen, looking for the education to find out what the real truth is. But at the end of the day, it all comes back to the same point for me. It's this Khazarian elite banking mafia that's controlling, you know, all the controls on the planet.
Yeah, I'm very glad to hear you offer that critique of the role of Israel here. Of course, they were really, the events of 9/11 originated in the fertile imagination of Bibi Netanyahu to try to figure out a way to draw the United States into the Middle East to take out the modern Arab states that had served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region, and eventually to confront the Persian nation of Iran, which they regard as their greatest obstacle. I know a fair amount about Iran. I participated in an international conference in Tehran in 2014. I've been interviewed by Press TV over the years, perhaps as many as 100 times. It turns out Iran is a great peace-loving nation that hasn't launched a war of aggression against any other state since, get this, Scott, 1775. And to put that in perspective, I explain how the ratification of the Constitution began in 1787. George Washington was elected our first president in 1789. So for longer than the United States has existed as a constitutional republic, Iran has not attacked any other nation. The Israelis are really good at false flag attacks. For example, I was invited to Buenos Aires twice to give lectures on JFK and 9/11. And it turned out I learned about false flag attacks in Buenos Aires in 1984 and 86, as I recall, where I published about it in VoltaireNet.org, about how they bombed their own embassy in order to blame it on Iran. And then when that didn't bring about enough deaths and concern, they actually subsequently, 2 years later, bombed their own Jewish community center. The first time they killed, a dozen to 16, the second time around 84, blaming it on Iran, where Iran had participated, assisted Argentina in the peaceful development of nuclear weapons. But they are the foremost practitioners of false flag attacks. And I tell you, the evidence of Israeli involvement in 9/11 is simply overwhelming, from the transfer of the World Trade Center to private hands for the first time by a Zionist Port Authority, New York Port Authority, Larry Silverstein's a friend of Bibi Netanyahu. They have a phone conversation every Sunday. He, of course, immediately fired the security firm that had been providing protection for the World Trade Center since it first opened in 1907 and hired an Israeli firm. He renegotiated the insurance coverage to include an anti-terrorist clause so that after it appeared there had been two planes and therefore two attacks, he collected double indemnity, over $4.5 billion on a $114 million investment. And, of course, the Israelis got what they wanted, as Wesley Clark would eventually disclose, that the plan was to enter the Middle East and to take out the governments of seven countries in the next 5 years, beginning with Iraq and Libya, ending with Syria and Iran. It didn't play out that way because of the intervention of Iran and Russia on behalf of the Syrian government at the request of their president, Bashar al-Assad, where, Scott, many Americans to this day don't understand that we cannot be bringing democracy to Syria because Syria is already a democracy. Bashar al-Assad is a democratically elected president of Syria, and he enjoys the support of some 80% of the Syrian people. I worry that because of their complete control of the American mainstream media, Americans learn so little of the facts about not only foreign but domestic relations as well. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, and I think this whole Israeli thing, you know, the Jewish thing, you know, I got a lot of friends that are Jewish. Some of the most important people in my life are Jewish, you know, and there's things they probably don't like to hear that I may say in my research and discoveries. I remember a few years back, it's back in 2003, 2004, something like that. Just wonderful people that were clients of mine, and they invited me to their home. The editor of the Jerusalem Post was in the country making a tour, and of course they knew him or had connections, and they invited him to this very large home, and they had about 40 people they invited. I was the only goy in the whole place, and of course I was invited because of, at that point, you know, being active in politics to the degree I was, and have an understanding of Middle Eastern, to what a small degree, geopolitics there. I was invited, and you know, I was very pro-Israel, pro-Benny Netanyahu, you know, anti-Palestinian, you know, don't let him in the West Bank, razor wire these people inside because they're going to continue to do what they do. At the end of the day, you know, you realize when you start looking at works like Gordon Duff's extensive research, where if you want to sort the whole thing out, you find out at the end of the day that only 3% of the Jewish people have the ancient Hebrew DNA, yet 80% of the Palestinians have the ancient Hebrew DNA. So who are the Semites and who are the real anti-Semites? Now, is that a slight to the Jewish people or the Israelis? Of course not. It's kind of like, what is your real history? Wouldn't you want to know the truth about your real history? If you look at the way the Khazarian Mafia set this whole thing up, the Khazarians made it, again, people... I just say openly what's on my mind. It displeases many people, but I can't buy into the fact that God created a race of people, the Jewish people, and they're the chosen ones, and I'm the supreme ultimate creator, so I'm just going to start producing the B-grade product, you know, the rest of you guys. Here's my masterpiece. They're special, and now you guys are all second-rate citizens. All those things were made up by the Khazarian Mafia. These are perspectives and even viewpoints that had influences in our very Bible. Same thing. That thing's been rewritten, translated how many times so they could, you know, the religious order could, you know, gain their power, money, whatever it is. I just don't have complete trust and faith in all the things that I learned, you know, growing up as a kid, you know, studying the Bible for 20 years and all those things. But everything is a shadow. These people operate as a shadow cast over humanity and all of society. So when we look at this situation, that we have to, you know, our policy has to be, looks like we've got a break coming up.
Scott, it's just great to have you here. We'll be right back with Scott McKay.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Scott, it's just great to have you here, and I wanted to ask you about the raid on the office of Rudy Giuliani, which seemed to me to be not legitimate whatsoever, but an attempt to get dirt on Donald Trump by a blatant violation of lawyer-client confidentiality. And of course, at the same time, they were raiding the office of Victoria Tensing, who'd also been a Trump attorney. This seems to be the Biden administration retaliating because they're so in fear of Donald Trump wiping them out again at the polls.
Yeah, you know, I watch these things happen. And, you know, this may be a far stretch, but I was on Evander Steele's show last night and I made the same case for, you know, we have never seen some of the things that we're seeing in this political dynamic, Jim, that we see today, okay? This Kazarian mafia has been in complete control, infiltrated every structure of influence and power on this planet, right to the top, the religious order, you know, governments around the world, agencies, get down through the list. They pull all the levers of power. Their people are in there. They always make the world, fashion the world the way they want it, no matter how absurd it is in the eyes of the people. So now we see that they lost power. And that was the day Donald Trump took the election in 2016. They never saw that coming. So I said before, this cabal is in a death spiral. It just looks different from our point of view, but I believe they're in a death spiral because they've never even been close to being brought down or damaged enough to where they could be brought down. Yet, they lost the most powerful position on the planet in a stunning upset. So now we know that's true. Now we see over the course of 3 years, this intelligence operation dissemination program to start exposing who these people really are. All of us who have been down rabbit holes for decades, none of us were prepared for what this Q intelligence started to drop. And I've said this before, people find it controversial. They have one opinion or another. And those who did not follow this intelligence as it came out in real time, it was happening. They don't know the facts. They don't know the score. I said, anybody's been through all of it the whole way through, you got to be either intellectually dishonest or intellectually lazy to come up with any other conclusion. There's no way the cabal would have allowed the exposure of this massive global satanic ritual abuse murder machine of our children by the 3 million, 2 million, at least 2 million a year, 800,000 these kids disappear every year, Hollywood being outed for what they really are, all the things that we learned through that course of time. There's no way that type of information could have ever gotten out into the world if this cabal had control. They don't. So now what I believe is through this exposure, now we have the theft of this election. My belief is that the most important outcome of what we see playing out here, the most important outcome is that not that the military steps in or Trump steps in and brings it all down, frees the people, frees the country, frees the planet from satanic influence. I believe if that happened that way, we would just continue on as we are, just like after 9/11, everybody forgets, we go back to the same mindset, or we end up descending back to where we were again. This is going to take a shift in human consciousness on the planet, that we the people are going to have to be the ones that bring this thing down. And I think that's what they're perpetuating with this information flow, with everything we're seeing, sitting back, allowing what appears to be a presidency happening under the Biden crime administration, when truly on the sidelines, you really have the people that are in control, that are in power. And you say, who's that? Well, the simple fact is, I don't care what country you are in, the person that controls the levers of power, or the person that controls whoever has the guns is in power, period. Whoever has the guns are the people in power. So, and that's the U.S. military. And Trump, of course, as the tip of the spear in their operation. So they're allowing a lot of these things to play out as they are. Why? Because they were going to wipe out humanity anyways. That was a 16-year plan, 8 of Obama. The last 8 were Hillary. It was cleanup operations to begin, you know, the takedown of humanity. So we averted that, but there still has to be casualties along the way, because the people have to see with their own eyes and experience in real time exactly what these people are, who they are, what they're prepared to do to bring down humanity, to a point where the people decide we are going to fight back. Because if the people do it versus the people in power, the political influence, if the people do it themselves, it'll never be forgotten. Because you can go ahead and rewrite history books, as the winners always do, who are the Khazarians. But when the people, by the millions or billions, do the job, that gets passed down through history, and it'll never be told differently. So my belief is, everything that we see happening, as displeasing as it is today, it is the powers, the true powers that be, who do have control, who have ultimate power, are allowing the criminals to continue to destroy themselves. We've seen as the intelligence never interfere with an enemy in the process of destroying itself. And I think that's what's happening here. I think there's white hats that are controlling a number of these black hats, basically forcing them to carry out what was their part of their plan in this takedown, with a gun to their head, so they can be exposed for a, you know, meal ticket to life in prison versus, you know, getting a bullet in the head. I don't see it any other way, even with what I'm seeing right now, because again, the absurdities of so many things that are out in the open that just don't make any sense tell me that somebody's controlling these people. They're controlling them, helping them, or forcing them to expose who they really are, so the people can have a clear vision and then finally say, okay, now I get it. This is enough. This is done. We are going to end this before you destroy the country and take freedom away. So, That's kind of my 80,000 foot view. I know some people don't necessarily buy into that, but you know, I look at this from a perspective. I've been looking at this stuff for nearly 3 decades, and so when you watch this chessboard, this global geopolitical chess game that's been going on, there's moves that become familiar. There's certain patterns the way things happen, you know, with relationships, interrelationships with countries around the world. Now, all of a sudden, we see things that we've not seen in my lifetime. I mean, how do you explain like 3, 4, 5 peace deals, Middle East peace deals? All these things that are happening, you're thinking, this has never happened before. So when I look at it from this point of view, it just tells me that this game is being played differently than it ever has been. And if it is, that's because somebody else is now controlling the board. And it's not for the playbook for you know, of these Khazarian devils.
Well, Scott, I want to buy into that, and to a certain extent, I suppose I do, but I look at, we've got Joe Biden giving his speech, this really hopelessly inadequate State of the Union facsimile. We got the borders that where the crisis is simply surging. Nothing is being done about it whatsoever. We appear to be subject to the Calergy plan applied to North America, where, of course, originally it was conceived as a way of destroying European culture by flooding the European nations with African migrants who are going to reproduce at a more rapid rate than the whites who were indigenous there and change the demographics and the culture permanently. We have the application of the same technique now in North America, where I have video of truck convoys bringing migrants to the southern border. And on the door of the trucks, Scott, is the Star of David. I mean, this is simply outrageous. We had the ADL attacking Tucker Carlson because he was talking about the replacement theory, which is precisely the core of the Calergy plan, when the ADL had been defending the exclusion of Palestinians from Israel, that the idea of allowing Palestinians into Israel would change the demographics of Israel because the Palestinians reproduce more rapidly than the indigenous Jewish members of the population, so that to preserve the integrity of Israel as a Jewish state, they were supporting excluding Palestinians while at the same time they're promoting migration, massive migration here in the United States. This is a profoundly disturbing situation where Trump had a handle on it. The wall was working. Even the presidents of Guatemala and Mexico have condemned Biden for having created the crisis at the border. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think if you look at how you just framed that, isn't it interesting? Why Israel's being saved for last? Israel is a Bolshevik outpost. It's a Bolshevik Khazarian mafia outpost. And so now, if you're going to create chaos around the world, why would you do it right there where it basically is the center of your power? Why are you going to do it at home base? You're not going to. You're going to inflict that everywhere else, of course. And I saw, you know, there's two things that made me realize that these players are all working together. Because when you saw Angela Merkel, Hitler's daughter, allowing this million man influx of these African Muslim fundamentalist radicals into Germany, which is a very sophisticated country and culture, and chaos is rampant throughout the country, and she's standing her ground against the German people who want it shut down. And here's Merkel, too bad, we're bringing more in anyways. Well, why would she destroy her own nation? Okay. And then you look at from our point of view, or from this side. I remember reading the National Defense Authorization Act in 2012. We got a Republican Senate, Republican House. Obama signs a bill. You look at that bill, and inside that bill are some controls that they hand over to the president. Now, this is a Republican House, Republican Senate. It was authored there, or who knows, it might have come out of the White House and said, here, guys, work with me. Let's get this thing passed so we can, you know, do what's necessary to take down the country, Republicans and Democrats alike, because in that bill was the power to kill the internet. This is a kill switch on the internet, handing it to who they say is their archenemy, President Obama. Republicans, again, in this bill, approving and passing, giving the president control of the national energy grid in a case of emergency, a state of emergency, giving Obama, the president at the time, the power to control the food supply. You're giving away three major weapons to basically enslave humanity to a guy who you claim is evil and you have to stop them. When I saw that, that's when I said, here's the deal. These people are all in it together. I don't care, Democrat, Republican, all that bullshit I've pushed off the table, you know, red, blue, left, right, conservative, liberal, it's all a smokescreen. These people are employed by the same employer. They're simply putting on a play to make all of us in this country believe we have somebody, regardless of what ideological part of the spectrum we stand on, that we have somebody in Washington, D.C. fighting for us. That's the play that they play out like a Broadway play to keep us at bay, to keep us from rising and to take care of business ourselves because we have our representative there fighting for us. It's all bullshit. So when I see those kind of things like this NDAA, we see these other countries, Merkel, Macron, destroying their own nations, then you say, okay, there is a larger game going on here, and it's not good for not only America, it's not good for humanity, period. How can these people possibly be destroying their own countries? Because there's a larger agenda here. Now, you just pointed out that Israel seems to be that one country that's not allowing any of that to happen. Interesting. Why? Because that Bolshevik outpost is controlling everything else going on the planet and all this chaos. They make sure that their backyard is okay and safe for them to operate in at the time. They'll deal, you know, with that chaos later. So, you know, it's something that makes me shake my head again. The average citizen is not going to know any of this stuff that you spent years learning. They don't really care. They're too busy living their lives. And this machine just continues going unchecked. The best thing that could have happened, given these circumstances on the planet, is a forum like your show or Revolution Radio, or people like myself that are willing to say, look, cut the bullshit. Here's the deal. Look at the facts. Look at what's going on here. Now you try to draw any other conclusion than the one I did. Because if you do, again, you're intellectually dishonest or you're intellectually lazy. You're not doing your homework to actually see what's happening here in the world. And now that we have this insanity on the southern border, again, it's as clear as day. You mentioned about Assad earlier, Assad being, you know, democratically elected president, and we need to go in there to Syria to overcome tyranny. What most people don't know about Assad is the last thing this guy ever wanted to do was be president. When they accused him of these chemical attacks on his people, I said, this is bullshit. First of all, the guy, the military had to basically drag him into the palace. He wanted nothing to do with it when his father died. The guy's a pediatrician, right? Who goes down that pathway to be a pediatrician, yet he's going to launch chemical weapons on children? All that nonsense. And when it happened, I said back then, I didn't know it was McCain. I didn't know it was McCain and his ISIS operation, Lindsey Graham and company. I didn't know it was the clowns in America. I had no idea it was them back then. But I said, I don't care what you say. This is in 2013 when it happened. I said, I'm telling you right now, that was not Assad. That's not who he is, and that's not what he's going to do. In addition to the fact that with Russia right there breathing down their neck, do you think that he's going to take that risk? There's no way. He knows we'd bomb the shit out of their country. So, and then they accused him of doing it again, right? Same thing. This guy reluctantly came to power because the military convinced him that the power of the Assad family name, and probably the adulation they might have had for his father, and probably more so for him because he's a pediatrician, would be enough to keep the country stable from these warring factions that occupy the nation. So, all of this stuff, Jim, is just, again, from an 80,000-foot view, it's the same players using the same playbook over and over and over. Assad just wasn't going to let them build that, you know. They don't want this pipeline going down through Syria. You bring Caspian oil into Europe. All these factors, all these things factor into it. It's always about money. It's about power. It's about enslaving humanity, having complete control and iron grip on humanity.
Well, I agree with most of that, though a minor correction. He's actually an ophthalmologist rather than a pediatrician, but the points you're making are very, very good. And I want to return to this guy, Barack Hussein Obama, because it seems to me he's been a great traitor to the United States. And the fact that he's not a natural-born citizen, I think the founders were so wise in wanting only someone who was born and raised in America to be eligible to become the president. You know, in Kenya, they have a monument to the first Kenyan president of the United States, not realizing that a Kenyan could never become president of the United States. His first action when he assumed office was locking up all his education records, which revealed that he had scholarships only available to foreign students. I've seen his Columbia University ID, where he's clearly identified as a foreign student. And of course, among his other actions that were destructive to the United States was the vitiation of the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948, which precluded the use of the same techniques of disinformation and propaganda within the United States that were being used without, such as staged events, phony shootings, assassinations, and the like, just in time by the Modernization Act of 2012 to bring a Sandy Hook, which was a Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Eric Holder, Daniel Malay. They took an abandoned school and conducted a two-day FEMA drill, which they presented as mass murder to promote gun control, and opened a floodgate to a whole series of these stage events Scott, I've done collaborative research with the best people involved in this and published a series of books, which Amazon, of course, unsurprisingly has banned, not only about Sandy Hook, but about the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland. Those are all phony, fake events. I could go into great detail about each one. But the fact is, Obama unleashed the floodgate and legalized all this use of propaganda on the American people. In my opinion, that's unforgivable. And that's not the worst of the what he's inflicted upon America.
Yeah, I would be very interested in seeing, although I have very little time to read anything these days, that research on Sandy Hook. But, you know, you're the first person I've heard, Jim, say, look, we've done extensive research. This was an abandoned school. They staged the FEMA operation as a practice drill, turned it into real world events. And you know what? Quite honestly, you know, people have attacked Alec Jones like relentlessly, just hammered him. He's a lunatic because how dare you say something like that's blasphemy? We saw the parents, you know, crying, and we saw the dead bodies. I haven't seen any, but you remember the footage of one of the fathers who came out and was addressing the media, clearly set up. The guy standing off to the side of the whatever they served as their stage there at the building. And he's standing back there smiling. He's laughing. He's having a good time. Walks up to the podium. He still has that jovial look on his face. And then he realizes the cameras are rolling and he stops, resets, goes into distraught parent mode. And he starts talking. I'm like, look at this bullshit. Look at this.
Yeah.
And I thought, are you kidding me? And you know what? You show that footage to people, but they just don't believe their lying eyes. That's what goes on.
You're talking about... You're talking about Robbie Parker, Scott.
Yeah,
the fact is that day that there was no surge of EMTs into the building, there was no string of ambulances to rush the little bodies off to hospitals where they could be declared to be dead or alive. There was no medevac helicopter, even though they're called even for drills. They put up triage tarps, but no bodies, dead or wounded, were placed on the triage tarps. And the fact is, there was no evacuation of what were supposed to be 469 other students there, not to mention 70 staff. The whole thing was a complete sham. One of my contributors, Paul Preston, who himself as a school administrator has supervised active shooting drills, was so concerned by what he saw broadcast from Newtown that day that he reached out to his contacts in the Obama Department of Education, all of whom confirmed to him it had been a drill, no children had been harmed, and it was done to promote gun control. It turns out even the official account by Danbury State's attorney Stephen Sadinsky was a complete failure. They had no fingerprints to tie the alleged shooter, Adam Lanza, to the rifle that was supposed to have been used to kill his mother. And they claimed that although there were 150 slugs that were recovered from the scene at the school, none of them could be matched to the weapon. In other words, it was a complete and total forensic failure. And get this, Scott, the FBI in its consolidated crime report for 2012 reported for the intersection of Newtown, of which Sandy Hook is a subdivision, and murder or non-negligent manslaughter, zero, zero, absolutely zero. So even the FBI had it right. This was an elaborate scam. Well, you have the media promoting it endlessly. The public is at a grotesque disadvantage because they don't know better. They don't know how to undertake research. It overwhelms them to think such a deception could be perpetrated on the American people. But they're doing it again and again and again. It is outrageous.
Yeah, it is. I don't know, Jim. It just truly baffles me that all these things can be happening. I've said this, people have heard me say this 100 times or more. The way the world really works, at least in the minds of the people, is not reality. They stage everything. If you just think about this group, let's call them whoever you think that, you know, the robed individuals, the 13 families, the committee of 300, whoever they are that control everything on the planet. It's like, how do you control the people? It's real simple. You stage whatever scene you want. You get cameras set up. You get people in place. You have them. You shoot it, And then you pump it out through this worldwide network, and it flows into this idiot box on the wall or sitting on a TV stand of information or a picture, a television, which is, you know, tell a vision. That's what you're doing. A television is telling a vision to the people that are watching it. And they sit there in front of it 48 hours a week. They're sucked in like a tractor beam has a hold of their brain. This thing just pumps out a vision that they want people to buy into. And the people buy into it. That's why they call them programs, because they're programming your mind with what they want you to believe is reality in the world, of which is opposite of the true reality. So the people simply don't know, and to some degree, no fault of their own, because they grew up being programmed with this machine. But if you at least explain it to them and you show them some of the research and information you've put out, you think that they would step back and say, wow, I got a real problem here. I can't say that I fully believe all these events that are happening, but they don't do that for whatever reason. They don't, there's legitimate reasons, but it's just stunning to me that there's a few of us out there in the world, you, myself, and a number of others see this clearly and are trying to wake the rest of the world up to this maniacal bullshit that what they perpetuate is our reality to help us save ourselves from it. But people just, even today, we have seen, Jim, how people could clearly, in living color, watch a mainstream media machine like CNN get busted and lie after lie after lie after lie in their attacks on Trump. Lie after lie after lie after lie. And I have friends that are still glued to CNN. Like, what in the hell is wrong with these people?
Yeah, it's outrageous. And Scott, let me use this occasion to just mention, if you want to see short takes that devastate the official accounts, whether it's Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Charlottesville, Parkland, Orlando, go to How to Spot a False Flag Part 1 and How to Spot a False Flag Part 2. You can find them on BitChute. How to Spot a False Flag Part 1, How to Spot a False Flag Part 2, and check them out. Meanwhile, Scott is willing to take calls for a while, maybe not the whole second hour, but here's the number, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. And because I've been informed by others that some have been intimidated from calling in out of concern they're going to be attacked by Paul, I will not be featuring Paul today. So anyone who would like to call in, please, Mitchell will put you in contact with me and Scott McKay. You're welcome to call in. 540-352-4452. We're looking forward to hearing from you.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Fight back! You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope.
We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, with my special guest today, Scott McKay. We have a call from Bruce in Texas. Bruce, join the conversation with me and Scott.
Yes, how do y'all hear me, okay?
Good, yes.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm going to have to be brief. Unfortunately, when your program is on, I'm at work. And so
okay.
I don't have all my material and stuff, you know, to bring up a case. But I say, Scott, he had eyes. Am I correct? He had eyes on running for Senate or some high elected office.
I couldn't quite hear that. Repeat it, Bruce.
Yeah, one second. Did Scott have? You say he wanted to run for elected office at one time. Do I have that correct?
Yeah. That in the distant past, the 16 years that I was active in elective politics, it. You know, it was focused on helping the right people get to office. And of course, over time, my objective was to, the top rung on the ladder of I would say ambition that I had was the United States Senate. Thought that maybe that would be attainable through maybe getting to a House seat at some point. But I wasn't going to do it by climbing through the political wreckage that most of the people do, or even specifically the Democrats in the Democratic Party. They just climb through the machine, the sewer, the sludge, you know, the swamp, and pick up all that stench along the way of doing things that they had to do to get the influence they needed to get elected. I wasn't going to do that. I was going to do it through the business side, you know, hopefully have enough business success to create a name for myself. And then at that point, having been in the world of elective politics, then throw my hat into a ring. But by the time 2006 came around, seeing the landscape for what it truly was. I wanted nothing to do with it. So I walked away, washed my hands of it, and knew that that would never be an interest of mine again. So people ask me today, why don't you do that? We need people to run. Like, trust me, I don't want to get anywhere near any position of power, influence in that swamp. I don't, you know, I wanted to go there and be the most hated man in Washington back when I did want to do it, because I wanted to pull the curtain back on all these scumbags, including the Republicans. The reason that I don't need to have that ambition anymore is because Donald Trump lived my dream. He went into that town, he pulled the curtain back on all these scumbags and said, look, it's not Democrat or Republican. All these scumbags are ruining your country. So,
right. Keep going. Well, I sure wish you would have. I mean, we need people like you, like, you know, you're quite an amazing person. I just want to touch on Soleimani. From what I understand, the rocket attacks on the Green Zone, the airport, were done as probably a false flag with Israeli-funded militias, ISIS, and they were used to pin the tail on the donkey, so to speak. And Soleimani was also backing Hezbollah in Lebanon, so they wanted to get him out of the way. So they used Saudi Arabia as kind of like to dupe him into a peace talk. So Saudi Arabia invited him to the peace talk. He was on the way there when he was assassinated. It's a dirty deal all the way around. I just encourage you to look further into the I'm sure Jim can help you look further into the Soleimani assassination. And that's all I have, guys. I'm sorry I can't be longer, and I'm sorry about the background noise. Like I said, bad time for me. But thank you for taking my call.
All right. I'm glad you called, Bruce. Yes, yes, yes. In relation to Hezbollah, Soleimani appears to have been instrumental in the defeat of Israel in this latest invasion of Lebanon by Hezbollah, realizing Israel is ranked as having the fourth most powerful army in the world, and yet this ragtag band, as it were, was able to defeat them in Lebanon, humiliating. And of course, they wanted to extract their pound of flesh. They wanted revenge and retaliation. It's just very, very sad to me that Donald Trump played a role in this, because it was an outrageous action and completely inappropriate. Scott, anything you'd like to say to Bruce, who's obviously quite a fan?
Yeah, I appreciate you calling in and expressing, confidence in me, potentially serving in that role. Have no interest in that. I certainly think I've got more influence out here sitting in front of a microphone, waking people up. What I'd like to do from this point forward, I do get a number of candidates lately exposed to me, and even request to interview them and help them facilitate their campaigns to get in position to lead. And I'm happy to do that. It's an honor when somebody asks me for, you know, a nod of approval. I consider even far above my pay grade to be that person, but I'm happy to give my opinion on that, support them. And also, I let them know you are now in range of my observation. So if you get in power and I help you and you fork us like the rest of the politicians do, well, just understand what's coming next. Patriot Street Fighter crosshairs. So if I get to serve that role, that'll be good enough for me.
We have a second caller here, Mona, who's also an NRR host like yourself and myself. Mona, join the conversation with Scott McKay and me.
Well, you fellas have it all down pat about what has been. Now, how do we get back the common sense, discernment, and critical thinking by putting this information out there, and who is looking? How do we get their attention to help them change the programming and views that they're all locked under? That's really what I want to know.
Hello, Miss Mona, my buddy.
Hello.
So I guess I don't.
Well, let me say something to Jim real quick, because I'm on his BitChute, and I mean, I'm constantly hearing him, and I've never met him. So welcome before me.
I'm delighted, Mona, you called here. I'm very glad. Scott, go forward.
Well, I guess I don't thoroughly understand the question. So could you restate it?
With all the knowledge. ahead.
Yeah, Mona saying, how do we translate our theoretical or intellectual understanding into concrete practical actions that are going to restore integrity to government and even perhaps Trump to the presidency?
Yeah.
Well, as far as Trump to the presidency, I'm kind of allowing their operation to carry out as it's being planned out, which I believe that it was more important for the appearance of the Biden administration to be in control to happen, because people have to, you know, again, see, feel, and experience what these people really are, what they're prepared to do to the country, so we, the people, can be the force that takes them out instead of somebody like Trump or the military, because how's history going to write that? Makes Trump look like a tyrant exercising unwarranted power on a political enemy. That story's never going to be told right, because the mainstream media is still in place. We have to allow these people to destroy themselves. We have to have the mainstream media destroy itself in the minds of the people, so then history can be written properly. And the only way that happens is if we, the people, do it. That's what I believe the Great Awakening in this whole mission is to wake up we, the people, so we deliver the victory for ourselves, not somebody else coming in and saving the day, not Christ dropping his feet on the planet saying, you guys forked the whole planet up, so good job, I'm going to clean it up for you and then give you a fast track ticket to heaven or whatever you may believe. I just don't see that happening. Now, as far as helping we, the people, come to the conclusion that we need to do it ourselves, that's what this tour that I'm going to go on this summer is all about. This Arise USA tour/Patriot Street Fighter tour, we combined and signed on, you know, with those guys, because they have an incredible operation already underway to take their message and our message collectively to the country. My objective is to do what I've been doing, except do it now face to face with the people, because I saw in Tulsa the response of me calling people to get into the fight. I had enough people tell me their stories of how they're now into the fight. I'm like, this is incredible. These people are incredible. I was so inspired by them, which is a reversal of what they thought, you know, that what they were giving me, where I was giving them was a true reversal. I was the one that was overly inspired, because I listened to their stories, how they're getting off of the couch, they're getting off the bench, they're getting into the fight on any and every level. So that little snapshot of what I saw in Tulsa, I thought, that's going on around the country. There's the fire that we need to stoke. There are the flames that we need to go dump gas on. So that's what the tour's about.
What was the generation of this? Because they've been trying to annihilate our generations, that basically the elders who have known all the facts behind the truth. So I just wonder, what was the generations? Is it the young ones? I'm just curious.
Well, what I saw, it ranged from truly 8 to 88. I had young kids that were there that were Patriot Street Fighters. You know, they had their Patriot Street Fighter gear on. Senior citizens, you know, ladies coming up and hugging me, great-grandmothers, hugging me for taking on this fight. All of it still is overwhelming to me, that I can tell you. But you know who's going to save it all for us? This will be astonishing to most people, but the young generation is going to save it all. Why? Because I already see, number one, these kids are influenced by the education system already, but those few, the few leaders, they're running around with their Patriot Street Fighter t-shirts on. They're getting pictures holding the tomahawk. They're excited about it. Now, these are the ones that are going to, look, kids always want to, you know, we all have that self-image thing. We're fighting, we're kids. We want an identity. We're teenagers, you know, whatever we are, 10, 12, 13, 14. You have this identity. I don't want to call it a crisis. It's an identity establishment period. What do you want to be in the world? How do you want people to view you? How do you want to feel special? Because we all want to. Well, now I see this little army of Patriot Street Fighters, or they want to sign on to this Patriot Street Fighter calling down the thunder mentality, like, let's go save the country from these bad people, right? So now these kids, they start signing on to that. They want a piece of it. They want to be part of something that's a special revolution to take our country back from the political scumbags, from the people that have been making life tough for everybody. And those are the ones, in their formative years, as they're starting to think about it at such a young age, in my opinion, this younger generation is going to be the kill shot on the cabal forever.
All right. Can I pull a word phrase on you?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just like somebody saying, I'm sorry, which creates sorrow because our words are manifesting realities in this matrix of this third dimensional realm. And, you know, we're raising children. Kids are baby goats. Can't nobody see in the demonic side. Now, I'm looking at all different perspectives because, you know, we all got to have a balance here. But still, we've got to say children, they're our children, they're our offspring, they are our pleasures and treasures. They're not baby goats. That's all I got to say on that, pardon me, but that's the way I feel about it.
Mona, that's great. That's all great. And you're welcome to stay on the line. I'd like to bring in Mitchell, since he was instrumental in getting Scott on the air in the beginning. And, of course, he's been producing for me. Mitchell, I'd like to take this opportunity for you to participate in this conversation with Scott.
Hey, hello, Scott. Hi, Jim. Hey,
hello, Mona. Sir.
Hope y'all are doing great. God bless you, Scott. Thank you for what you're doing. I've gotten myself in a groove, and I've got to do more of what you're doing. And, well, if I can find the time, I guess, because it's so time-consuming. But getting the message out and waking people up to get them outside of this mind control of the mainstream media, I'd like to see congressmen, you know, push a freedom of mind bill where, you know, corporations and tech companies cannot use computer algorithms to essentially brainwash people. And that is a something I think that we're actually seeing the effects of today. Go ahead.
I think Scott's shirts and his memorabilia, that's the only way I can put it, okay? Because you're not trying to make funds. You're trying to bring out messages through the stuff that you do put out there. And I want a tomahawk so bad. But anyway, it is what we do as examples. So if you're going to the grocery store, where's that T-shirt that says the one about the children, you know, with the blocks on it or whichever? I mean, there's so many that you have on your site. Give your site where people can find you, Scott, besides here and your other places.
Yeah, scottmckay.us is where, you know, where you can find what we're doing, our operation, everything that people need to do to link up with anything. If you want to, like, we're having this event here in Dallas, the Patriot Street Fighter meet and greet event here in Dallas on the 16th. At the Delta Marriott in Allen, which is about 25 minutes north of downtown Dallas here. So they can find that there. You can hit the shop right there, and that'll take you right to PatriotStreetFighter.com, which is where all of the Patriot Street Fighter gear is. You can, you know, grab your, you know, whatever message we have out there that you fancy. They all feature the tomahawk because it's who we are. And whatever awareness cause we have for the particular day, it's up there. And, you know, that everybody knows that, like Revolution Radio, that we all operate on donations here. And that's, you know, we're raising money for the tour itself, to pay for the tour bus and the security that I have to now drag around with me to keep that flaming arrow off my back. So we're raising money for that. And, so all that stuff can be found right there. But the gear is really fun. I mean, Ron Partain's done a great job of, you know, together we worked on, again, this none of this was planned. It was accidental. It was fun. Look what's happening here. Well, let's, you know, here's who you are, Scott. You're a Patriot Street Fighter. I saw you have it on your Twitter bio. It had the last line there. He's like, man, that's who you are. He talked about a T-shirt. It's a, you know, and we did the pose and the, you know, here's how I see you delivering your information. We played around that stuff. It was a lot of fun. And then, of course, the tomahawk emerged out of it, you know, kind of signifies my Native American heritage with a peace pipe on one end, a blade on the other. So that stuff is all fun. But the most important part of that is that we are taking messages and shoving it right into the face of these cabal players, the trafficking of kids and all the things that the left gets pissed off about. We just put it on shirts and shove it in their face. Like, somebody's got to say it. And that gear, you're right, Mona, I'm happy you said that. That gear signifies not Scott McKay, Patriot Street Fighter. It signifies we the people who now are stepping up.
Isn't it American made? It's made here in the U.S. of this A, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that to me counts more than anything else sometimes, you know? We have forgotten to add stability in this country by our labors, no matter if it's voice or our hands or our minds. I mean, we have been so swept into a corner with this CV thing and all the politics and the planning of it. You know, it's like, I want to just send everybody and give them a big old hug right now, but I'm not going to get close to anybody because it just doesn't seem that hugs are in anymore. There's too much danger out there. I apologize because I'm a big hugger, but it's...
Well
you know, Mona, Sherry Tenpenny is warning that these shots, these COVID shots, according to her, are the perfect killing machine. And we're getting other reports that women who are in association with persons who've been vaccinated, even if they've not been vaccinated themselves, are suffering miscarriages and other problems. You know, so, I mean, it may turn out to be that the vaccinated are the typhoid Marys of our time, that they're not the ones who are protected. And bear in mind the absurdity of the situation that if you've had a vaccine that's supposed to, you know, cure you of the disease, you still have to wear a face mask, social distance, and all the rest. I mean, the enormity of this scam is simply overwhelming.
Yeah.
We have another caller here, Barb from Florida. Barb, join the conversation.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Fetzer and Mr. McKay. Barb from Florida. I'm in Palm Beach County. I live a dozen miles from Mar-a-Lago. And we have a group called Trump 45, and they had General Flynn here Monday night. And that room at the Hilton Airport was full. I mean, we had 600 enthusiastic people there. So people are, like Scott said, people want to learn the truth. They want to be active. You know, they just have to be shown the way, I guess. And so I'm just wondering about your Street Fighter tour. Is it coming to Florida at all?
Yes, it is. In fact, let me pull up that schedule. Give me one second. I'm going to go find it. There is starting out in this change just recently for the start of it. I'm going to miss the initial dates of Atlanta, Birmingham, Pensacola, New Orleans, Jackson, Mississippi, Memphis, Little Rock, and Shreveport. I'm not jumping on the tour until the 28th of May, which is Houston. That's where I'll jump in. My motor coach will be delivered to Dallas the day before. Then we'll head down to Houston. But I will come back at the end of the tour, and I'll hit those spots. So, but at the end of the tour, okay, the end of the tour, the official tour, it does come down the coast in the East Coast in Florida. So August the 16th is Jacksonville. 17th is Daytona Beach, 18th is Palm Beach, 19th is Miami, 20th is Naples, 21st is Tampa. So those are the dates that the tour comes through Florida. The Panhandle, of course, being Florida, was an early entry, but I'll be, you know, coming out of that, likely coming out of Tampa, and I'll probably just head from there right over to the Panhandle area.
Great. Looking forward to it.
Well, thank you.
Are you tied in at all with Cynthia McKinney and Robert David Steele? Are they part of yours?
Well, I'm part of their tour. Robert David Steele invited me to come on to. Cynthia McKinney's not on the tour. She's dropped out. But yeah, I will be the Patriot Street Fighter bus will be coming up behind their tour as the add-on to it.
Thanks so much. Thank you, Dr. Fetzer. And just one last thing, Miss Ashley Babbitt. Do you think that was a real murder?
No, it was a staged event, Barb, like so many others. No one flinched when he fired. She wasn't a threat to him. It wasn't a justifiable shoot. It all appears to have been staged. I have a 21-minute video where you can see that there are directors in the crowd telling people where to go, what to do, following the crowd up into the hallway. No one ducks for cover. No one seems to be surprised. They lay her down very gently. Having been shot in the neck, there ought to have been blood everywhere. There's virtually none to be seen. She's given a little packet that appears to be fake blood to make it look as though there were some. She's not treated by EMT. She's carried out by her feet and her shoulders when she ought to have been on a stretcher. It's like the Sutnik guy who was supposed to have been smashed over the head with a fire extinguisher. He turns out to have had too many strokes. He wasn't hit in the head. He showed no serious effects, but they withheld that information for 3 months so they could use his death to hype the propaganda. I think they had to stage the Ashley Babbitt business so they could claim it was a deadly intrusion. You know, that's a kind of propaganda. And we're even getting reports from the New York Times of all sources that the Capitol Police had been warned in advance that they'd requested reinforcements, which were turned down. And when the Times asked, you know, who refused to give them support, the answer is a little bit too obvious. I mean, the Capitol Police are under control of the Speaker of the House. Nancy Pelosi rigged this whole affair in order to disrupt the discussion of election fraud. Remember,
it wasn't
the counting of the vote. It was the election fraud she disrupted. And of course, in the process, smeared Trump supporters. Donald hadn't even finished speaking. That didn't happen until 1:11, but these events at the Capitol began as early as 12:45. Barb, do you want to add? Did you want to add?
Thank you very much. So much
I'm glad you called in.
Okay.
Mitchell, did you have more you wanted to add?
No, not really, Jim. We're almost on a break here. About 30 seconds till we got a break.
Scott, are you able to stick around for a few more callers? I know how busy you are, so I don't want to impose. We do have a report, by the way, that Macron is ignoring the advice of some 30 generals. This is pretty extraordinary, who warned about the potential for Islamic uprising in France, and that he's going to punish the generals. That's rather stunning to me.
Yes, heard the same thing. I can stick around for one more question after we come back into break, and I've got an appointment that I have to be at at the top of that hour. Otherwise, I would.
Okay, terrific, Scott. Excellent. It's been a real pleasure having you here. I'm just delighted we could connect. And we want to learn more, you know, about maybe Mitchell can place a foot on, Roe. Yeah, Mr. Roe. We'll get to Mr. Roe as soon as we return from the break. We'll be right back with Scott and McKay. Well, listen, Mitchell has canceled the break here so we can bring in Mr. Roe, who has made contact. I'm just delighted, Mr. Roe, join the conversation with Scott McKay and me.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Back, Jim. Are you muted? Scott, you still there?
I'm here.
Hey, Mr. Rowe?
Yeah.
There's Mr. Rowe. All right. You take it. Go, Mr. Rowe. So you're on.
All right. Hey, Scott. How are you doing, man?
The mysterious Mr. Rowe. What a pleasure.
Hey, I just wanted to know, you know, on your tour, are you coming out behind the lines out here in the California side?
Oh yeah, I learned I got a very large following in California, believe it or not. So we couldn't miss it. We got a couple stops there. In fact, I know San Diego was to be 2 days and then up to Fresno, Modesto, Sacramento. But I said, hey guys, we can't miss the Inland Empire. We might not, you know, go behind enemy lines in Los Angeles where I lived for 15 years, but we certainly have to hit the Inland Empire, maybe Riverside. So I think we'll have to look at the schedule again to see what Robert David Steele has. He said, absolutely, Scott. He just, you name it. If we gotta be in a certain place in California, we're going to go there. So where are you?
Yeah, I'm up in the San Francisco Bay Area. So I'm not too far from the Sacramento side and could possibly even make it down to Fresno. That's a little bit of a drive. But I'm up in the San Francisco, San Jose, that Northern California area.
Yeah, we're definitely coming through there. I'll be have my eye out for Flaming Arrows up in that part of the state, but we're coming.
All right. Well, I will keep an eye out for you. And if you do come up, I will come say hello.
That'd be great. That'd be a lot of fun.
Right on.
That's wonderful, Mr. Rowe. I'm so glad you could join. Excellent. 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 Anyone else there want to, you know, ask Scott a final question before he has to hit the road? Mitchell, final thought?
I want to thank all you fellas for doing all this for radio, for Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, because you are part of the backbone of this station, and I do appreciate y'all. But I'm out of here.
Okay. I want to thank you for joining us today. That was excellent. I'm really pleased. We do have a caller for the 410 area code, Scott, if we can manage just before you have to take off. 410 caller, join the conversation.
You bet.
Hi, Jim and Scott. This is Kitty Cat. So my question is, how do we, I think we need to get back human communication, because whatever we call all that sort of savage cruelty that's being unleashed on people in America and also worldwide, we can call them Khazarian mafia, you know, the cabal, 13 families. But the people actually holding the positions, you can see clearly by religious belonging that it's the Jews' culture. Susan Wojcicki, CEO, I like to call CEOs cruelty enjoyment officers, Jewess of YouTube, Alphabet, which owns Google. The CEO is a Jew, Larry Page. Instagram, Adam Mosseri, I think Mosseri, CEO, also Jew. Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, CEO, also Jew. Leslie Berland, Twitter's Director of People and Marketing, also Jewess. Jan Koum of WhatsApp, also Jewess. Reddit, Stephen Newhouse, chairman, is Jew. Stephen Huffman, Stephen Newhouse was chairman and also another Jew, CEO of Reddit, both of Reddit, Steve Huffman. Discord, where people put comments, Jason Citron, CEO, also Jew. Tumblr CEO, David Karp, also Jew, and I think the younger people are starting to use Twitch. That's Emmett Shear, also Jew. Snapchat, Michael Linton, also Jew. So we can call these people in the shadows, and of course the really, really powerful people like to put somebody in front of them. But humanity, we're 7.5 billion people. We
is there a question here?
We can, and yes, we can and should get to them by the people who are holding positions. So I'm just saying, what's to be done?
Well,
about human communication and getting it back more fairly to people.
Well, I think that was a great dissertation that we needed to hear on who these people all are. And I'm very careful to just box these people in as Jews, because the Jewish people take offense to that, as if it's a, you know, nobody's going to be able to attack me with the bullshit of anti-Semitism or racism, all that, because all the people that they claim are affected by the thoughts that I may have, they're all friends of mine. These people are friends of mine. Black, white, Jewish, Indian, Muslim, gay, whatever. These people are friends of mine. So I can't ever tie that bullshit to me. But I would rather more or less define it like I've heard Bishop Larry Gators. They're Khazarian devils. These people are not Jewish by DNA. They're Jewish by the adoption of the Judaic religion. And so although we can say that it's the Jews, it's not the Jews, it's the Khazarian devils that claim to be Jews that hide under the cover of that and the sympathy card that they created to protect themselves. But you're right, that's who these people are that control, you know, the controllers of this machine, this Khazarian machine. And that's who we have to expose. Once the people of all religions see that these people are all one of the same, working for the same machine, and it's revealed to what they have inflicted on humanity, on all of us together, then we see the real enemy. And then we unify as a human race of various beliefs, religions, whatever. But as a human race that's been being slowly murdered by these Khazarian devils, and then we take them down, or we support the people, the military, the powers that are going to take them down, rather than stand in their way, fighting them on some basis of a political ideology or division of races, of sexes, of ages, or whatever. We all say, you know what? These people are the problem. Look what they've been doing to all of us. Let's take them down. Let's have them eliminated. And that's kind of how I see it all inevitably and eventually playing out. But so it was a pleasure being here with you fellas. And ma'am, thanks for coming, Mo, and everybody else. It's always great to be here with anybody on Revolution Radio. I do have to make that exit, so I make that appointment. And thank you for inviting me on today.
Scott, it's absolutely terrific having you here. I can't thank you enough. And good luck with the tour and everything else you're dealing with. You are a powerful force for good.
Well, I'm very flattered by that and very honored to be allowed to fight on this playing field with all of you guys.
So thank you very much, guys. Have a great day.
Good luck with everything, Scott, and all your endeavors. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
I want to pick up by observing that the Biden Department of Justice had a secret plan to arrest Derek Chauvin had he not been found guilty during the trial in Minneapolis. This is pretty bizarre. It conveys the message that social justice is going to trump due process, because after all, there was a trial that took place that did in fact find him guilty and no doubt circumvented a host of rioting and looting that would otherwise have taken place, but also I think fundamentally undermined the Democrats' record, attempt to undermine justice is not working, even though I think the verdict was completely flawed. It did have the political benefit of taking the wind out of the sails. We have Saul from Colorado on the line. Saul, join the conversation.
Hey, Jim and Scaredy Cat, and if there's anybody else around. I just want to say that it's a terrible shame that they didn't sequester the jury, as you said, because it forced them to be fearful and not to make probably the best judgment they could have made in that case. It's really a shame. And I hate to see all these corrupt judges, and I just hope that with the recounting of the votes in Arizona that the truth comes out and that it's not squelched by corrupt people that are involved in it, the judge or any of the other parties that arbitrate the ballots.
Let me just say, in relation to the Chauvin trial, that Miles Mathis has done a brilliant critique suggesting the whole thing was scripted. I mean, from beginning to end, he has made 51 points about it, and I found this so intriguing that I invited Danny Siris, who has an extensive background in law enforcement, to join me with a review of what Miles Mathis had to say about it. It's now available on my BitChute channel, BitChute channel Jim_Fetzer. You'll find where Danny Siris and I go through the whole case. Let me just mention a couple of illustrations. It was the first criminal trial in Minnesota to be entirely televised and the first time in state court to be broadcast live. Since the state had previous statutes against televising trials, that's why they never had, we should be told why and how the statute was bypassed. Did the legislature pass a variance? No. Did the judge decide it on his own authority? No, because he didn't have the authority. That decision is not vested in judges. That by itself, Miles writes, indicates the whole trial was faked by the CIA. Only fake CIA trials are televised, as I've established in many previous papers. It's really remarkable what he reports, including especially, I think, about the medical treatment that George Floyd did not receive. Chauvin was charged and convicted of three separate crimes for the same event: second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter. That makes no sense, Mathis writes. Only one man is allegedly dead, so you can't be charged for three murders or manslaughters there. The prosecution would be expected to pick one. It would like stealing one car and being convicted of grand theft auto, petty theft, and conspiracy to commit theft. Meanwhile, as of today, Wikipedia still states Chauvin knelt on Floyd's neck for 9 minutes and 29 seconds. For part of the time, two other officers knelt on Floyd's back. During the final 2 minutes, Floyd was motionless and had no pulse. That's quoting from Wikipedia. But they later admit at the trial that 9-minute claim was dropped. And how could they know Floyd had no pulse during the final 2 minutes? Did we see anyone take his pulse? No. Do you think Chauvin took his pulse? found none and then continued to kneel on him for two more minutes just for fun. They later created video of someone reaching in to check Floyd's pulse while Chauvin was still kneeling on him. Does that make any sense? The paramedics are going to arrive and check Floyd's pulse while Chauvin is still murdering him? Anyone who thought any of this, thinks any of this, believes any of this, bought any of this, needs help. He points out, too, and I think this is one of his most telling, when the emergency vehicles show up, they're in the wrong uniforms. They're actually in the uniforms of state troopers. Here's what he says. In the video, we see that when the ambulance arrives, two guys in khaki bulletproof vests, khaki short sleeve shirts with brown pockets and brown pants and caps get out of it rather than EMTs. This is a huge red flag and oversight by the directors. Those uniforms are state troopers, not Minneapolis police or EMT. Why would state troopers be getting out of an ambulance? State troopers are not EMTs. Their job has to do with the roads and motorists. Moreover, he goes on that real EMTs would actually have immediately sought to apply medical techniques to George Floyd, not picked him up and sort of tossed him into the ambulance. They would have immediately sought to undertake immediate medical procedures to save his life, which was not done. I'm giving you just a sampler to tell you, I think Miles Mathis has figured something out here that's rather stunning and devastating. And Danny and I go through all 51 of the points he makes, and you can find it on BitChute on my channel, Jim Fetzer, as something we did yesterday and I posted last night. Meanwhile, Saul, you're welcome to continue, or, you know, whoever else we may still have. Scaredy, I suspect, is still here. Saul first.
Okay. I just saw that on your BitChute video feed, so I'll be watching that later. And I want to say thank you for sending me the Pizzagate presentation you did. And God, it's even worse than you try than you explained it was. But after that video ended, I watched your interview with Scott Bennett, another great Scott, which was just amazing. I watched that this morning. That was really great. He's a real patriot.
Oh, Saul, this is fabulous. Yes, yes, yes. I warn people before watching my expose on Pizzagate, brace yourself. You know, it may give you nightmares. This is something you need to have a strong stomach to deal with. It's available on BitChute and on JimTheConspiracyGuy.com. It was one of the very first. There are some 65 of my presentations there, including a good number with Danny Cirrus, including how the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, colluded with BLM and Antifa to, you know, bring about the havoc in the streets and where they were functioning as a voter registration drive, where donations that went to BLM went directly to Act Blue and into the pockets of figures like Elizabeth Warren, Beto O'Rourke, you know, Amy Klobuchar, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. I mean, it's all disgusting beyond belief when you put the pieces together. Scaredy, I'm certain you have further thoughts you want to add. I was glad you had the chance to speak with Scott.
Thanks, Jim. Hey, I have, I'm going old school, probably back 100 centers. Not 100 centuries, 100 years, a century, because what happened is I went to the Apple store, you know, the brutal savages called the Apple Corporation, and all these strange things are keep happening to me, which is alarming me, but I'm keeping happy and trying to keep calm and breathe, as they say. The wire burnt out. And so I just went to get a wire, and they charge for the charger. They charged $20 for the wire and separately another $20 for the plug, and it's probably gone up. But anyway, there were five security guards there in black shirts, and 10 workers, I think, in blue shirts, and only just like 5-10 customers, which I was the latest one walking up. And they, so they said, you know, cover my face. So I, to this date, have not worn that yarmulke with ear loops. I'm saying that very deliberately. Off the crown, you know, the crown is the corona of that little bald spot. I refuse to wear that on my face. Instead, Bangladeshi ladies always have some kind of a pretty scarf which we show off to each other. So I just put that over my nose and I wrapped it. You know, I wasn't like, you know, like sloppy about it, so they'd be satisfied my nose and mouth were covered. And so this skinny blue shirt guy went in without saying a word to me. I said, I don't have to go into the store. You should, if you just bring it out, I'll pay you the cash outside, so I don't, you know, mess up your store, meaning my with my breath that they think is dirty.
Yes.
So then suddenly this big guy, security, this time a black shirt came out. Obviously, the blue shirt guy had gone in without so much as any conversation to me. You know, this sumo wrestler, huge, 400-500-pound guy, and came out with a mask. So I had already my pretty flowered scarf on my face, and he said, you have to wear this. And then I said, well, okay, I don't have to go to the store. I think there are things there which are going into people's lungs and causing pneumonia these days. So I don't want to wear, you know, thank you, but I have my face covered with my own clothes. And then he said, you have to. And I said, well, then, okay, I don't have to go into the store. If you just bring the wire outside, I'll pay you. He said, in order to talk to a blue shirt, just even to say hi, I have to wear the mask. So so now I don't have a wire. The only computer I had was like, you know, like your BitChute channel and so on, was on my phone. So long story short, I'm going to report back to you each time. Life IRL, the kids have a great slang, you know, the computer address on top, URL, universe, I think relocation, something. So the kids say IRL. They're great with coming up with slang words, quick and zippy, in real life. And so my first in real life thing, if you have now or maybe next time or maybe a listener, the phone number of your publisher, I think it's David Gaheri. And so I'm going to be doing everything by telephone or by talking to real people. So that's my first request is, can you call out Moonrock Publishing or Money Tree Publishing's phone number. So I will use that to talk to real people, and I recommend everybody start telephoning.
Yes.
In real life.
May I please interject here? Because I've done business with Dave Gaheri. What you do is if you send him an email and ask him to call you, they'll call you from an unknown number. You got to understand that he's got a lot of issues with a lot of people that don't like what he and Jim are doing, and he'll call you and then he'll take your debit or credit card information so you could order whatever books you want from Moonrock Books. I've ordered several times from him. He's a great guy and he's glad to do anything like that to sell you any of the Moonrock stuff or any of the other publishing things he's got, including that book Side Effects Death, which I'm going to be ordering soon. Thanks.
I think you can use info at Moonrock Books, Scarity. I think that'll work, or contact at Moonrock Books. Either one of those ought to work. Let me see. I'm trying to check right now.
Yeah, Jim, just I'm smiling a moment because see how our life is seamlessly into computers. We cannot think without a computer address. So, Sal, thanks. My email was from my phone, you see. And Jim, Moonrock Books info, that's also on the phone. You see what I mean? I literally am just using my mom's landline. So, Jim and Sal, I think I don't. Obviously, I don't want anybody to dox themselves, anything like that. And I totally understand the savage pressure that Jim and David Geheri are under. But I did see a telephone, like a customer telephone number on Money Tree Publishing. It's at the bottom, I think, his actual office, the where the books are, the publishing house, is in Florida, maybe. But I just didn't write it down before my wire burnt out. And Jim, all kinds of funny things. The tree outside my mom's window, her apartment, all around the parking lot where we keep our cars, there might be, I counted, there might be like 25, 30 trees. No one was cut down except the one in front of my mom's window.
Really?
So many things like that. It's like scary.
Really?
Yeah. So that happened, actually, the tree that was cut down, that happened last summer, maybe. Another thing, there was a CIA girl called Lucy living upstairs in the upstairs apartment. And I'll tell you about that story next time. Because immediately after I talked to them, I was so angry about something. I rushed up there and knocked on her door hard and showed a lot of anger. Everything properly. They had just taken my mom's phone, and I was angry. But why are they bothering a quiet, innocent, elderly lady? So I just rushed up there to tell them off. Don't take my mom's phone number. Get your own. They're CIA. They have $1 trillion budget. And then, like, that day or the very next day, my car was crashed into, and I had to get a loaner car for a fortnight. These things, you know. So those are happening every some months. But the main thing now is I recommend everybody to keep Jim a little bit of income with his real paper books.
Here we got a number. Here we got a number for you, Scaredy. 850-877-0344. 677-0344, area code 850. We're good. Yeah, got it.
Let me say that again. 677-0344. Okay. 850-677-0344.
Yeah. Great. Yes, exactly, Scaredy. Directly from Dave right now as we're talking.
Oh, good. Yep. Very good. Everybody send him some income. Let's do things in real life. And let's make the community, as Chicago Brew says, let's help each other thrive, because they have locked up all the money in these filthy corporations. Anytime anybody gets skillful and they work hard studying a subject, the only place that can employ them is, one of these savage corporations. There's no money circulating amongst ourselves.
Scaredy, thank you for being here. Thanks to all the callers. Thanks to Scott McKay. Have a great weekend, folks.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio, Studio A, for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage.